This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, May 19th, 2024. Genuine wisdom.
Isn't it just a glorious day to be part of God's kingdom? Amen. Amen. Here in the sanctuary, there online. What a great, great day. So this is our third and final week with the series Genuine. First week, we talked about genuine faith. Last Sunday, we talked about genuine religion. This morning, we're going to look at genuine wisdom.
I love that hymn that Paul just sang, "Be Thou My Vision." That's what having godly wisdom is about, having vision that would be from God. And then that second verse was, "Be thou my wisdom." Be thou my wisdom. So good morning, Connection Church. Good morning. My name's Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to be with each and every one of you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for this day. It's a day set apart for you. And even in the midst of the busyness, Lord, help us really settle in so that we might experience you for this next 40 minutes. That we would hear your word in scripture, that we would take it in and make it our own. God, thank you for the opportunity to stand before your people and share from the book of James what we read about godly wisdom, genuine wisdom. I pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and everybody agreed and said, Amen.
Amen. So there was a young man who, he was in his early 20s, and he just got to thinking about wisdom, and he thought, how can I find out how to get wisdom? And then he thought about, he'd read something in a magazine about this this mystical guru in the Himalayas. So he said, that'll do it. So took a plane, went to the Himalayas, climbed. You know, it was an arduous journey because he had to climb up this steep mountain, and he was in the presence of the guru, the master, sitting there in the lotus position. I won't even attempt it, but you know what I mean, the lotus position, you know. And he says, "Tell me, O master, what is the secret of wisdom? And the guy sitting in the lotus position said, my son, the secret of wisdom is good judgment. And he says, And he got to thinking, well, how do I get good judgment? And the master replied, experience. He said, oh, all right. Then he got thinking again. He says, how do I get experience? And the master says, bad judgment. Bad judgment.
Isn't it true that some of our biggest learnings are when we might have had some poor judgment or we had made some mistakes? I'm a really quick study when I realize that I've messed up and I switch gears on that. Well, we're talking about wisdom today. And when we look in the dictionary, wisdom is defined as the quality of having good sense, judgment, experience, insight, the ability to process, to apply, or otherwise act on knowledge. It's that everyday earthly secular definition. That's this earthly secular definition of wisdom. But we have a better definition than that. And it's the definition that we find in the Bible. We find about godly wisdom. It's the biblical view of wisdom. It's all throughout Scripture. We're going to pull out Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So there you go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts, that means his teachings, have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise.
Fear of the Lord. We see that a lot in the scriptures, fear of the Lord. What does that mean? That I'm supposed to stand around scared to death? That God's going to do something? No, that's not what fear of the Lord is. Fear of the Lord means to be to have reverence for, to be in awe of the Creator of all things. And so reverence and awe of God is the beginning of wisdom. From that beginning, godly wisdom then means to strive to see life from God's perspective and act accordingly. It means to make corrections in one's behavior. I mean, to make changes as needed. It means not repeating the same mistakes over and over again. Repeating the same mistakes over and over is the mark of a fool. And genuine wisdom is the opposite of being a fool. Check this out. Proverbs 26, 111 through 112. As a dog returns to its vomit. That's right in there in the Bible. Yeah. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Think about that one. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them.
The Bible sure does have everything in it, doesn't it? Everything we need. Fools keep making the same mistakes over and over and over. You do something and you expect a different outcome, but it's not when you keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. A person who sees himself or herself as wise, who views themselves as wise, often see themselves a little bit more highly than they should. And they're worse off than a fool who keeps repeating their mistakes. That's what the scripture says.
In the book of James, that's found in the New Testament, second part of the Bible, the author talks in very practical terms of this idea of wisdom, earthly wisdom, and then also genuine or heavenly wisdom. Here's what James shares at the end of chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? It's a good question. Let them show it. In other words, do something now. Show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, Do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Whoa. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice.
And so James here takes the same approach as we've looked at when he talked about genuine faith. He said, you got to have genuine faith, and, you know, we have faith in Christ alone. It's nothing we can earn or get. It's just there. But faith without works is dead. Remember, we talked about that. And so you have faith, but you need to do something about it. And he says the same thing about godly wisdom. Don't just talk about being wise and understanding. Put it into action. Show your wisdom and understanding by your life. Not an all about me, but there should be fruit when we have godly wisdom. And wisdom includes having humility. Say humility. To be humble. Humility that comes from godly wisdom. If we're truly wise, if we're wise in terms of seeing things through God's perspective, God's eyes, we do things in humility because it's about God. It's not about what we do. We're motivated by the love and the grace and the mercy of God and what God's done in our lives. And that motivates us to have genuine faith, genuine wisdom. And so on the other end of it, we wouldn't do things to bring attention to ourselves, an all about me kind of attitude. We have a saying around here. It's four words. Who knows what I'm going to say? It's, yeah, it's not about me. I am. If you're not familiar with that, you're going to hear that again because we say that a lot around here. We're not an I am church. It's not about me. It's about others. You are important, but we also need to think of others.
So back to the scripture. There in the third, beginning of the third sentence there, you have the word but. B-U-T, but. That's a very important word. It means what follows, you're going to be walking along, but. Whoop, whoop, new direction. It's not going to be business as usual. It's going to be, that was that, but this is this. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, think about that. If you harbor that in your hearts, well, don't boast about it or deny the truth. And then James says, such wisdom does not come from heaven. It's earthly. It's unspiritual. It's demonic. That means it comes from Satan. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you'll find disorder and every evil practice. Ouch. Bitter envy, selfish ambition. These are traits of members of the AAMC. Y'all know what the AAMC? That's the All About Me Club. Or we also have it's a little different, but it's a different club, but same criteria for membership. The IAFC, the I'm a Fool Club. I'm not going to ask if there's any charter members here. We won't go there.
So James talks about envy. Envy is not just being jealous about what someone has. Envy is wanting it instead of that person. I mean, that's like yuck. That's so not good. And then he talks about bitter envy, taking it to the point where you even resent that they have what they have in the first place, instead of just being happy for one another. Oh, well, it must be nice. Why do we do that? We should be happy for one another and what people have. And he also talks about selfish ambition. Ambition's good because we don't want to be lazy Ambition is about determination. It's about hard work. It's about achievement. But if we have selfish ambition, it means we're stepping on people as we're going forward, as we're doing our thing, which isn't good. Stepping on, you know, trying to make somebody else look bad or look less so we can climb over. Selfish ambition. And so that's another thing about, you know, it's this demonic, it's not like devil's in me, but I allow the devil to have a stronghold when we have that kind of thought process.
And then James says this so-called wisdom, notice that so-called wisdom comes not from heaven, but is earthly, saying it is unspiritual and demonic. You know, it doesn't get much worse than that, does it? Demonic. Yeah. Every evil practice, that's ugly. And you know that's exactly what happens to me, maybe to you too, but I'll just speak for me. When I stop focusing on everybody else, my friends here at church, my friends at home, my family, my grandchildren, my kids, my wife, when I get into the what about me mode, what about me? When I start having those little pity parties for Alan, when I once again become the center of my universe, here I am, yeah. Yeah, bitter envy, selfish ambition, disorder, demonic.
You know, that word in this scripture really caught my attention. I mean, I think it's a really strong thing to say. You know, such wisdom does not come from down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. It's like, yikes. So the evil one, Satan, loves it when we put ourselves above everyone else or when we exercise these bad attributes of pride or selfish ambition. And it's like we're playing right into the hands of the evil one. And that's how we read this, that we're playing right into his hands because Satan wants to do terrible things like steal, kill, and destroy. Steal our joy, kill our dreams, and destroy our lives. And that is so contrary to what Jesus wants for us. To love us, to give us a purpose, to give us a plan for us to walk in godly wisdom. Jesus says, you know, love God, love others. The last shall be first, the first shall be last. I came to serve and not be served. That is so opposite of what James is pointing to with this other stuff. And so I know we fall into these things that enter our heads that kind of knock us off. And I call them old tapes. Now, you know, that's an old term too, but the tape in our head that, you know, reliving memories or continually revisiting a thought that we'd dropped at the cross, that we'd given to Jesus, and it comes back and it comes back and it comes back. And that's just is paralyzing. And that's not what God wants for us. And God wants us to lean in and claim the grace and the mercy, allow the Holy Spirit to fill us from the inside out. And when that happens, we can have genuine faith, like James talks about, and godly or genuine wisdom. We challenged you last week to read the book of James. We're going to say it again. Read the book of James. There is such good handles for how to do life in the book of James. It's not long. Five chapters. There you go.
So that morning I was doing my, I like to say daily devotion, but sometimes I forget. Sometimes I get lazy. Sometimes it's afternoon before I think about it. And I would encourage you all, though, to do daily devotion, even if you sometimes forget, you know.
And next week, there's a sermon on goals versus habits.
That's right. It's a good habit to get into, because how else? What better way to start your day than to focus on God, right? So anyway, the other day I was doing this devotion I'm working on. It's a book of devotions by a guy named Timothy Keller. He was a Presbyterian minister up in Manhattan, had a church there with thousands. He died recently, but he wrote this book, God's Wisdom for Navigating Life. It's based on the Proverbs. It's very interesting. It's very, not just interesting, but it's thought-provoking, and it's fulfilling. But this is what he wrote, which is appropriate for us this morning. He says, within one being of the triune God, there are three persons loving and glorifying one another through eternity. Picture that. Isn't that just a glorious picture? Loving and glorifying one another through eternity. An other orientation of love. In other words, oriented on not this, but on everything out there, on the other two out of the three, each of the three, concentrating on the other two. Then he writes this, therefore, if you are scrambling for glory, it's what we're talking about this morning, that earthly wisdom. If you're scrambling for glory and recognition for yourself, rather than giving it and serving others, you are going against the grain of the universe. Wow. Wow.
So, that's a really good one. Back to James. He goes on to offer the other side of the coin. He talks about true wisdom, godly wisdom. We're calling it genuine wisdom, heavenly wisdom. Let's focus on verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all what? Pure. Then what? Peace-loving. What else? Considerate, submissive, full of mercy, and what? Good fruit. Impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
So then James, he outlines what wisdom is point by point, so we'll take it point by point as well. First of all, it comes from heaven and it is pure. Pure, uncontaminated. It's not mixed with anything else. It is thinking, it is in a way that is not polluted. We referenced that last week in relation to genuine faith. It means the absence of sinful attitude of mode or motive. This wisdom, this heavenly wisdom, is no longer tainted by my judgment, my experience, my insight. And this isn't easy to do because my norm is to see everything through the Allen lens of reality. That's the normal. And that lens takes into account all my experiences, both good and bad, both lowly and lofty, both joyful and painful. You see, the trouble with me looking at things through the Allen lens is that lens is damaged. There's some brokenness. There's some distortion to that lens when I'm not using my Jesus filter to see through, when I'm looking at it just through the plain Allen lens. But here's the thing. When I'm able to see with heavenly wisdom, with reverence and awe of God, and not with my human distortions. I was thinking about this when I was writing this message the other day. And I was thinking about that, and my heart was literally racing, just thinking about looking not through Alan's distorted lens, but looking at it through the lens of God, seeing things, seeing others through the lens of God. My heart was racing. When we allow God to show us things through his lens, not ours, when we're allowed to see him with genuine wisdom, not that earthly wisdom we were talking about a few minutes ago, you know, we get a little glimpse of heaven. And that's just absolutely glorious. Yeah.
So godly wisdom that comes from heaven is pure. Next, James says that it is peace-loving. Peace-loving. Now, true peace is this characteristic of right relationship with God, right relationship with one another. And when peace rules our lives, we experience this like tranquility and contentment. It's like, boy, this is good. But then life takes over, things happen, and here we're feeling kind of peaceful, and then out of the blue, a storm arises. I know we've all had them. A storm arises in a relationship where some things were said or heard that just sort of make things all messed up. When there is a storm in our life that we really have nothing that we can do about, and it sort of happens to us, and we've got to figure out how to navigate through that. And then there are storms that we might create for ourselves with our words or our actions. And, you know, that causes a mess as well. With us, the storms that happen generally are really stupid. Because it might be a word said or a tone or this or that, that really is pretty trivial in the big scope of things. But you know how you can hear something or experience something and it just festers? And it takes us out of relationship. You know, I love God, I know where my firm foundation is, but if things are messed up here, nothing is right for me. Because that's part of living in righteousness. Of course, being right with God and right with each other. When we're functioning in the wisdom of heaven, it is peace loving. And we can try to avoid the storms, or at least when we're in the midst of the storms that happen to us, we can fall into the grace of God and the love of God, who will carry us through step by step. Some of you have been through some terrible things, and you are in terrible things, but know that God is with you and will carry you. It just sounds trite, but it's true. And then when storms happen and we kind of cause them, first of all, we need to ask for forgiveness, maybe from the person. Certainly, we need to have God help us go in a new direction. Heavenly wisdom is peace-loving. We can avoid storms.
And then James continues with telling us that wisdom that comes from heaven is also considerate and unsubmissive. Considerate means that you pay attention to the needs, the wishes, the feelings of others. Others. And submissive, submissive means that you are, just the very word, sub means under. You're coming under the authority or under the teaching of another. It means that you're inclined or ready to yield to the authority of another. And I don't know about you, but this is not an easy thing to do. Can I get an amen? Maybe from one or two? Amen. Submissive. It's difficult, and yet it's part of heavenly wisdom from what we're told here. I love how it's expressed in Ephesians 5:21. The New International Version puts it like this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Or Eugene Peterson's The Message puts it like this: out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another.
Now, this is actually found in Ephesians, and it talks about how husbands and wives should live this out. But in verse 21 that Alan referenced, it says, submit to one another. Say one another.
One another.
Yeah, one another. And so that's really a good thing. I struggled for a lot of years on this one. I struggled for a lot of years on this one. But I've come to understand that when I submit to Alan, I can do that with joy because he's submitted to God. And so when he's submitted to God, whatever he speaks into my life is right. And this is mutual respect, is what it's talking about. So I'm submitted to God first, and then he's submitted to me. And so there's this mutuality that I no longer fight against. I'm not under him. He's not under me. It's a mutual respect and authority because God is the one who we're submitted to. And so it really becomes very easy to submit. I could not submit if I wasn't in a godly relationship. That's really tough. That's why the Bible warns against being unyoked, because that would be that's hard. But praise God, many of us are in godly relationships so that we can submit to one another. And when it's godly, it's always right. It's always right.
And 522 starts talking about husbands, wives, 521 actually is before we get to the husbands and wives. Mm-hmm. It says, where did I have it here? Submit to one out of to one another. It's not, we're not even to the husbands and wives yet. I mean, the husband and wives is important, but this is across the board. This is out there, and then he focuses down. So even with a friend, and you think, how can I submit to a friend? Well, likewise, if the friend is godly, then that makes sense.
So I'm in a small group, plus I have some other friends who I've said, like, hold me accountable. And that means I'm submitting to their godly wisdom because I trust them. And some of you know who you are. You can speak into my life and correct me or help me live it out right. But that's what this is talking about.
Yeah. Wisdom, God's wisdom in us, then is also full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Mercy means to forgive. It means not giving someone what they deserve. And I don't mean you owe somebody, it's not that, giving somebody, you know, what they deserve because they've been mean or they've done something to against you.
It means let them off the hook.
It means forgive them. Yeah. Let them off the hook. Think, how can I do that? Well, it's through God. Just keep in mind how often God lets you off the hook. I mean, how can I do that? Well, God does it every day, several times a day, at least with me, anyway. Mercy. Give someone, and also good fruit. You know, what's good fruit have to do with? Well, good fruit's a metaphor for having attributes of Christ, like the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians 5:22, where it says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. 9 fruits of the Spirit that grow out of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. God's wisdom in us helps us with that. God's wisdom also helps us to be impartial, where we can treat everybody fairly and justly. God's wisdom brings about sincerity, helps us to be free from pretense, free from deceit. We can offer genuine feelings. We can keep it real. We can keep it real. And so this section reiterates what we've been saying over and over this morning. When we have the Lord's wisdom, our focus is not on ourselves, but it's on other, on God and those around us, not on ourselves. And with this kind of wisdom, we don't have to give somebody what they deserve. Now, we can be good. We can be gentle. We can be self-controlled. We can be forgiving. We can be fair. We can be real.
Those with this kind of wisdom, wisdom that comes from the Lord, are peacemakers. And they sow in peace. Isn't that a cool, like, sow in peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. What's righteousness? Well, righteousness is being right with the Lord, right living. Fools, on the other hand, are those far from the wisdom of the Lord. They are not peacemakers, and they have attributes that are opposite of Christ. They're not good. They're not gentle. They may not be self-controlled. They might treat people unfairly, unjustly. They're not willing to forgive. It's the opposite of what Christ models. Proverbs 10, verse 8, the wise in heart accept commands. They're teachable. But a chattering fool comes to ruin.
So what's it going to be? As James asks, who is wise and understanding among you? Do you choose wisdom that comes from heaven? Or do you choose to be a self-centered fool? Do you choose to show it with deeds done with humility? Or do you choose to be a member of the AAMC, the All About Me Club? Do you choose reverence and awe of the Creator? Or do you choose to harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts? I think the answers to those questions are pretty obvious, aren't they? But you know, it's very difficult to do on our own, isn't it? We need to have God's help. So let's ask God to help us to choose heavenly wisdom and understanding, to have reverence for God, and to be in awe, absolute awe of the Creator.
And so today we're going to close with a song that we've done a number of times, and it's called Run to the Father. Run to the Father. The lyrics fit so well, because how is it that we choose godly wisdom? We run to the Father. How is it that we have genuine faith? We run to the Father. How is it that we have genuine religion? This is what we've talked about in James, genuine faith, genuine religion, now genuine wisdom. We run to the Father. The words say, run to the Father, fall into his grace. Just imagine that. When things are going nutso, just falling into the grace of God. Wow, that feels peaceful, doesn't it? And we can accept God's invitation to, so that he can do a mighty work in us, so that we can live out the plan that he has. You were born with a plan, not our own, but from God. You were created and brought here by God for God's purposes, ultimately to glorify God. And so we've taken a look at some very, very good things in James that we can take with us. Be genuine. Be real. In your faith, in your religion, not polluted, but be genuine, clear, pure, and have godly wisdom or genuine wisdom, not only just have it, but that's evident to all. And how is it evident to all? It's by our fruit. And how do we get the fruit? Well, it's being in right relationship. It's the Holy Spirit that flows in and through us. So we challenge each one of you, we challenge us to live with genuine wisdom that flows from heaven. That's the good news. Let's live it. Let's believe it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for this teaching in James. There is so much more to say. And I do pray, we pray that those of us here would take advantage of these teachings about faith and religion and wisdom and dig in for themselves, that we would take a look at James again, five chapters with such practical ways of doing life, and and apply them and live it out. Lord, help us run to you, fall into your arms of grace, experience you so that we can love others the way that you would have us love others. Thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.